We spent time on Friday drinking in the glory of love through sacrifice this past Friday. The hurdle to relationship with God, unforgiven sin, is taken out of the way by love and by a sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ on a cross becomes sin. Wrath is poured out upon him. The way of full and final forgiveness is now open. Then we come to the second part, the empty tomb. The empty tomb is a really big deal, an inseparable partner with the cross. The resurrection of Jesus Christ changes everything. And my great prayer this morning is that we can take some things away from the resurrection and put them in our pockets and have the resurrection color our lives every day. As a teacher of God's Word, Resurrection Sunday is really hard for several reasons. Number one, you can go a million different directions. What do you want to talk about? Should we just teach you the narrative and the fact that somebody was raised from the dead? Should we talk about the fact that Jesus Christ was raised and now all authority in the heavens and the earth has been given to him? Do we go there? Where do we go? And at the same time where you're figuring out where to go, you're recognizing that there's some here that won't even think about resurrection again until 1 year from now. We don't want to localize resurrection to Resurrection Sunday. Resurrection should permeate all of our days until Christ comes. The resurrection of Jesus Christ affects us every day. So the things I want to focus on today, and realizing there's a million other things. So hey, you didn't talk about it. Yeah, go home and talk about it with God through the Word. There's so much. There's so much. But what we want to focus on today are these very simple things. The empty tomb. The empty tomb changes everything. It changes everything. It changes it. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Everybody has to deal with that. The empty tomb, first, assures us of Christ's victory over our great enemy, death. Oh, glorious day. And by that, we mean both spiritual death and physical death. There's two types of death, and there's two types of resurrection. Secondly, the empty tomb, and this is why we went to Philippians chapter 3, the empty tomb avails to us power. The resurrection power of God. So first, the empty tomb assures us Christ's victory over our great enemy, death. In resurrection, Jesus Christ is proclaimed champion. He is proclaimed the victor. He won. Paul proclaims his victory when he quotes Isaiah in his letter to Corinth. Speaking of the surety of Christ's resurrection, he says, "Death is swallowed up in victory." If everybody's honest, if we were to pull every human being and we were to say, "What do you fear most?" The vast majority of responses would be death. We'll make something up to make us look like we don't fear those snakes or mice, and we may fear those things. But people fear death. And the good news in the resurrection of Jesus Christ is there's no reason to fear death. If you come to him, the empty tomb is a proclamation of victory. Death has been defeated. The enemy that's coming for 100% of us has been defeated by a risen Christ. Christ the victor. Christ the conqueror. He took on our greatest enemy, death, and he defeated it for us by dying and being raised out of it. The penalty for sin, the wrath of God taken away at the cross, the consequence for sin, death, defeated by an empty tomb. He defeated an enemy introduced into the creation by the ultimate enemy of our soul, the devil. Death, an enemy that is birthed by sin. Death that enters the creation through one man, Adam. Death, an enemy that has 100% of humanity squarely in its sights. That enemy has been defeated by the Christ who did not stay dead. And that changes everything. So great is Jesus' victory that it defeats death in totality. There is not a single element of death that has not been defeated by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, in his resurrection, defeats spiritual death. Jesus Christ, in his resurrection, defeats physical death. So let's talk about the spiritual victory over death that an empty tomb ensures. Jesus Christ being raised from the dead assures us that our spiritual death has been defeated. All of us are born dead in trespasses and sins. All of us are born dead, meaning we are separated from God. All of us are born dead, sinners by nature and by choice. All of us are born dead spiritually, alienated from God. Spiritual death, even though we focus on the bodily resurrection of Christ, and that's hugely important, but we don't give enough credence to spiritual death. Because spiritual death is even a greater enemy than physical death. Why? Because if we die physically while still being spiritually dead and stand before God on judgment day, we go to hell forever. We don't want that. The good news, the really, really good news, the gospel is that the glory of the empty tomb shows that Jesus defeats our spiritual death. When Paul writes this in Romans chapter 4, he says, Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses, crucifixion, and raised for our justification. Paul says he was raised for us to be declared innocent. Jesus Christ being raised from the dead is a massive billboard that shows that believers are declared innocent by God. It is a sign that his work on the cross has been fully accepted by God the Father. The payment went through. It didn't get rejected. No insufficient funds in this payment. Paid in full by the King of Glory. Spiritual death can now be undone, defeated. How? How can it be undone? How can it be defeated? Through a million good works? No. Through showing up at Christmas and Easter in really nice dress? No. Through doing the best you can and hoping this God who's ultimately unknowable will just be merciful to me on judgment day? No. Your spiritual death can be defeated by Christ simply by trusting in the conqueror of that death, the risen Lord Jesus Christ. If you come to Christ by faith, you are declared innocent by God. Christ's resurrection gives us that assurance. He was raised for our justification, for our verdict of innocence. Those of us who are in Christ, by faith, who love him, who follow him out of loving obedience, we can walk around fully assured that we are forgiven by God because Christ was raised from the dead. And here's the amazing thing. Here's the amazing thing. If you're in Christ, if you're sitting here right now, a born-again believer in Christ, if you are trusting solely in the finished work of Christ in your place, by faith, you have already experienced a resurrection. Your once dead soul, separated from God, has been raised from the dead and united to God in Christ. That's what Paul speaks of in his letter to the Ephesians. Listen to the resurrection language here. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sin, made us alive. Resurrection. Made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved and raised us up with him. Resurrection language. And seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If you are in Christ by faith, you have been raised from the dead spiritually. The threat of standing before God on judgment day, still dead in your trespasses and sins, has been taken away. Jesus defeated that death for you, and you enter into the victory by faith. We are victors by faith in the victorious risen Christ. That's the glory of Resurrection Sunday. Your separation, the true meaning of death, separation. Your separation from God has ended. You've been raised from the dead by faith, by grace in Christ. But that's not all. If that was it, we should be down on our faces right now. But that's not all. That's not all. Not only is Christ allow for our spirits to be raised from the dead, for our sin to be forgiven, for our spiritual separation from God to end, for us to experience spiritual resurrection from the dead. There's physical victory as well. This is an incredibly precious hope. There's some who've buried their loved ones in Christ. I know a dear sister who did it yesterday. This is such a precious, hope-filled promise for those who deal with bodies that are breaking down. Bodies that can't walk. Bodies that don't work well are damaged. Bodies that have cancer in them. These bodies in Christ someday will rise perfect and victorious. The empty tomb is a blaring, glorious testimony to that. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, "For in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then those who belong to Christ at his coming." Christ is raised bodily, and he's the line leader. We can't cut, but he's the line leader. If you are in Christ by faith, you are in that line. We are going to follow the leader in physical resurrection. Christ's resurrection gives us victory over physical death. Now, this one we have to wait for. And I know for some of you, it's hard to wait. The spiritual resurrection, the alive, right now, can be yours right now if you're not in Him. For those of us in Him, it's right now. We've been made alive. But the physical, bodies being raised from the dead, fully healed, even better than they were here, working perfectly, for that we have to wait. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ assures us that we are waiting in hope. We are waiting in hope. Though your body will die unless Christ comes first, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Though the body will die, it will decay because of the curse to the point where it will no longer function. In Christ, that body will be raised. It will be raised again and united to your soul and will dwell with God forever. Christ is the first fruits of the resurrection. We must see us in Christ's resurrection. That'll be us someday. We will follow Him. Jesus in Matthew 16 fills out the fullness of the Christian life right here. Never does Jesus say, pray some certain prayer, pronounce yourself saved, and go about living. As though you can have a collision with the King of the universe and you look no different. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. True believers follow Jesus. No, nowhere in Scripture do we see this. I'm a believer, but I don't follow Him. I don't order my life after Him. I don't pursue more of Him. I don't make Him Lord of my life. For whoever would save his life would lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Jesus says, follow me. If you do, you will truly gain life. You will truly find life, first spiritually, through spiritual resurrection, then physically, through physical resurrection. If we follow Christ, we follow Him all the way to glory. In life, in death, and in an empty tomb, we will follow Him in resurrection. That is why we bury our bodies. I said yesterday at a funeral, the body's important to God. The body is a testimony when we bury it and care for it well prior to burial. The body is a testimony to our belief that God will raise that body from the dead. Our belief that God will unite our body and soul together again to dwell with God forever. And we believe that because Christ's tomb was empty. Christ defeats death in totality. Spiritual death and physical death. Secondly and lastly, although if you've listened to me teach long enough, lastly is no reason to get your hopes up. Secondly, the empty tomb avails us to the resurrection power of God. This is big for us now. The empty tomb affects us now in this life. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was an awesome display of God's power. Power to raise the dead. And look what Paul says here in Romans 8, verse 11. He says, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Oh. It was the Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead. The Holy Spirit of God raised Jesus from the dead in an awesome display of power. The power to make the dead alive. The same Spirit of God that works to make you spiritually alive in Christ. And do you see what Paul points out at the beginning of verse 11? The very same Holy Spirit lives in born-again believers. The very same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead indwells us. Our spiritual resurrection by the Holy Spirit of God also avails to us power by the very same Spirit who lives in us, who dwells within us. Gone are the days when we have no choice but to feel powerless. We've been given resurrection power, the power of God in us, the power of God availed to us. So you can either turn back to Philippians 3 or you can open your Bibles to it if you're still there. In verse 7, Paul writes this, just going through what we've already read. But whatever gain I had, I counted for loss. Paul had gain. Paul had gain. Paul could have continued on the path he was on and lived the life. Chief seats in the synagogues, people bowing down and honoring him in the streets, feeding himself fat on the labors of others, but his life would have had no power. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Is that you? Have you given up everything in your life to pale by comparison to the Lord Jesus Christ? Or is Jesus a nice tack on? Is he a nice mantelpiece along your other awards? For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things. And you know what? I don't give a rip about them. They're rubbish. They're dung. In order that I could have more of him and be found in him. I don't want this powerless life that I used to live, where I'm trying to convince myself of my own righteousness, thinking somehow this is all going to work out, somehow this circumstance is going to work out, and then someday God's going to go, well, you were pretty good. He says, I don't want that. That's how it used to be. But I want to live in light of the righteousness that comes through faith in Christ. A righteousness that comes by faith. And now listen to what Paul says next. That I may know him and the power. The Greek word there is dynamis. What's it sound like? Dynamite. That's the power. Paul says, I don't want this. What I want is I want more Christ, and I want to live with this power. The power that has been availed to us in the resurrected Christ by the same Spirit. I want that power. I want that power, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and may share him in his sufferings, becoming like him in death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection of the dead, The good is coming. Trusting in Christ, being born again by the Spirit, being spiritually resurrected, does not spare us from the trials of the world. In many ways, in Christ, they increase. So that's why we get the parable of the soils. Some soils, it's, I love Jesus! Until you go to work and they say, you love Jesus, you bigot? And all of a sudden it's, I don't really love Jesus. I love the world. In many ways, trials and tribulations increase in Christ as the world that used to love us because we were one of their own now hates us as they hated Christ before us. But Paul says this, there's a promise there. When we share in Christ's sufferings, we get to experience resurrection power. If I'm an unbeliever and I'm suffering, I feel like I'm going to suffocate because I'm trying to navigate these ugly waters with my own power. And Paul says, in Christ, those days are gone. You've been availed. You've been granted resurrection power. God's resurrection dynamite. A supernatural empowerment. We will suffer. We will experience hard times. We will wonder if we can carry on, if we can make it. But along with those things, we will experience an empowering from God that we can't comprehend. That's been assured by Christ's resurrection. We will see Him work miraculous things. I get to pastor a church, and I have an email account, and people send me emails, and some of them are, some of them, though, there's miracles being done in people's lives. Pastor, you can't believe what God did. I can. That's resurrection power. Because the tomb is empty. I do not want to boil God down to some simple intellectual group of facts that I hold to. He's alive and He's almighty. And He's granted us in Christ by the power of the Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, resurrection power. That's why there's always hope. Never give up on God. Christ is risen from the dead. He lives in us. He guides us. He empowers us. He protects us. All because of an empty tomb. Do you believe that? Do you live like that? Do you pray like that? Do you pray massive things? Do you pray things like putting sticks of dynamite in a wall? Resurrection power gives us hope. Resurrection power gives us purpose. Resurrection power means no need to fear. Resurrection power means a life free from anxiety is available in Christ. Resurrection power means just put your hope and your trust into Christ who was raised from the dead and trust that you will see God's power. Part of this life is an abundance. And we've talked before how this has been so perverted by prosperity gospel preachers who put abundance with a 50-foot yacht. But that said, Christ says here, now, right now, April 1st, 2018, I have an abundant life for you. And I would argue it has nothing to do with finances. The abundant life is a life living while experiencing resurrection power. Seeing God work experiencing God's comfort in the hardest of situations, believing and trusting that God is always there. He's never going to let you down. That's the abundant life. We tap into that power when we walk by faith. We tap into that power when we trust in God, refusing to let the circumstances dictate our emotions. We tap into that power when we cry out to God and pray, believing He hears, believing He loves, and believing He answers. We tap into that power when we walk righteously. We tap into that power when we forsake all that we have and we follow Him. Christians' lives should be a testimony to God's power. Christians' lives should be a testimony of the Holy Spirit working in them, through them, and around them, where the people say, Who are these people? It's like you touch them and they're electric. That very same power, that very same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, empowers believers to live, empowers believers to die, empowers believers to be raised into glory someday. The empty tomb is a big deal. Three questions to ponder as you leave. Number one, simply, have you been spiritually resurrected? Have you? And if you say yes, just ask yourself a follow-up question. How am I following Christ? How am I following Christ? What does denying myself and following Him look like? Is there any evidence at all that you're following Jesus in your life? Is there any evidence at all that the Holy Spirit of God indwells you and seeks to make Christ the Lord of your life? Second question to ask, does the promise of bodily resurrection fuel hope in you? Our prayer prompter each week is filled with stories of bodies breaking down. Bodies that have cancer in them. Bodies that can't get out of a wheelchair in their own strength. Medicine, science, can offer about an inch of hope, and that hope in so many ways is temporary. In the promise of physical resurrection is full and never-ending hope. That's where we put our hope. Does the promise of bodily resurrection fuel hope? Then the last question, simply, are you living in the resurrection power that God has given us? Are you? Or are we Christians who live powerless lives because we try to handle things according to our own circumstance? Are we Christians who just watch Fox News all day and then complain about everything going around us so we look just like the world? Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. And neither are citizens of His kingdom to be of this world. The resurrection of Christ, an empty tomb, it changes everything. Let's pray. Father, help us to keep the glory and the power of Christ's resurrection before us. Father, if there are still those dead in their trespasses and sins among us right now, trusting in anything else other than Christ, even being here this very morning, Father, I pray that You'd awaken the dead. Oh, I pray You would awaken the dead. Father, for those of us in here today who the body's just breaking down, it's going away, and it's troubling, and at times it's horrifying, and at times it's frightening, Father, I pray that our hope would be firmly fixed on the fact that in Christ, that body will rise perfected to live forever. And that's where the ultimate hope would be. And Father, we don't want to live lives that are the same powerless mess that they were before we came to Christ. Father, grant us resurrection power. Open our eyes to see the many magnificent, awesome things you're doing in our lives. Father, help us to pray for you to work many magnificent, awesome things in our lives and in the lives of those around us. Father, we don't want to shortchange this power that has been given to us by the Spirit of God. But rather, Father, we just want to see your glory vividly on display. Bless us, O Father. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.